Hello, everyone, and welcome to another America's Conservative Podcast. Yes, you hear the voice. It's me, Ed Bensel. How's everybody doing today? I got that tire yesterday, remember? I talked about getting a blowout on my way home from a disc golf tournament on Saturday evening. Had a blowout. Had to ride about the last, I'm going to say about 25 miles on a spare, a little spare, going about 40 miles an hour. Okay, maybe I went up to about 45 miles an hour. But I made it home. And then yesterday I went out and I actually got two tires instead of one because I wanted to like kind of even everything out. And so I have two new tires on the back now and I have two of the old tires on the front. So we're all good. Tire situation is now fixed, but just the way it is, two other things happened yesterday that I found out about. First of all, my website, EdwardDensel.com, that I mention at the end of every show, its server died. And so my website guy was working on that. And he's, as of last night, it was not working. I have to admit, I've not checked it yet this morning. But so that server died, and he told me it was going, he goes, deeply apologized, and he was going to fix it. Great website guy. Really have enjoyed his work and taking care of the website. Not his fault at all. Not at all. Just something that happens. I think a hard drive or something went bad somewhere. So that happened yesterday. And then on top of that, my phone died. And I have an LG V10. And from T-Mobile. I've had T-Mobile as my cell phone company since 2003, I think it is, was. And love T-Mobile. Don't get me wrong. Love it. But I've had some problems with the phones I've had from them. And now this is the first one that's just actually up and died. I mean, I was sitting there, and it was on 1 second, and then it was off the next second, and it will not come back on. And it's not the battery. I did a little research to find out that these phones do have some sort of thing called a loop block or something that happens to that something in the software, hardware goes bad and they just stop working and there's no fix. Luckily, I didn't have anything on there that can't be replaced, you know, like apps and pictures and things like that. So, but it just up and died. So I've had some destruction in my life in the last 3 days. A tire, a website server, and now my phone. Now, yesterday after the show, I had to go get a couple new tires. After today's show, after I'm done recording this and posting this to Podomatic and elsewhere, I have to go get a new phone. Crazy times. Just crazy. Just it's really bizarre. So that's what's going on in my life. I hope nothing bad is going on in yours. Let's get to the show. As I predicted yesterday, this attack in St. Petersburg, Russia, was done by a Muslim, and it does look like it was somebody, I'm going to give this country's name the best shot ever, Kyrgyzstan, Kyrgyzstan, man, that is one messed up language Russian is. And but the guy was from there. That is a Muslim majority country. That country or that area was part of the Soviet Union going back, I guess, until the late 80s. But it does have a Muslim majority, and it do have Chechens that do live in that country. And it is believed that this guy, his name, Akbarjan Dialalov, D-I-D-J-A-L-I-L-O-V, Jalalov, was the perpetrator. They believed that at least, you know, in all of these cases, they find out that there were 5, 6, 10 other people involved or who knew it was going to happen. So I'm sure the Russians will round up all these people. But I think it was he alone who went on to this train and put these bombs on it. One went off, and luckily the other one did not go off. I don't know if it was a mistake. There was a defect in the bomb, or the Russians got to it before it could go off. I'm not sure about that. But only one of them went off. 10 people were killed. I think I had said 50 injured, but yesterday, but I think the number ended up being 43 injured. And so Russia still has its problems. This was not some false flag operation, as I'm sure there were some stories in the last 24 hours that came out that concerned that. And so I guess this is not predictable, but just in the stereotype of who we expect is going to do an attack in Russia. You find that, you know, I guess what's the difference between these problems that Russia has had, and this is not the first time that a train has been attacked in Russia. Go back to, 2009, I think they had something happen on a high-speed train in Russia. That you don't find too many Russian Muslims who are committing these acts, unlike in the United States, where the last few attacks in the United States have actually been American citizens who are Muslims. I don't know how many attacks are happening in Russia that they are Russian citizens who are Muslims who are then converted, who are Muslims who then decide they want to, you know, be a terrorist. I'd like to see some statistics on that. But as I was reading this follow-up story today, that kind of came to my mind that we're having attacks, they have attacks, but the perpetrators seem to be different. They just seem to be this guy, not a Russian citizen, but from a country that once again used to be part of the Soviet Union, but is in Asia. It's not like up, Kyrgyzstan, I understand, is not up there like near Finland or Sweden or anything. This is a country that is closer to the Middle East, I guess south of Russia. And maybe that has something to do with this attack and this person being more likely to commit an act like this. You just don't see too many Russian citizens who are Muslims attacking their own country. But maybe that's just a perception of mine. So I'm sure they'll track this guy down like the Russians do. They go about these things, a little more efficiently than American police do. Of course, American police have done a great job in some of these cases. Of course, especially the San Bernardino case, where they figured out where these people were, and there was that shootout, if you'll remember, between the husband and wife and police that was caught on tape, by the way. And, of course, the great job the police did when I was talking last week. That's still an amazing story about how that FBI agent followed those two terrorists to Garland, Texas. Remember, we talked about that last week. And the police did a good job in that, too. Of course, a policeman and a security guard there. But when it comes to manhunts, I bet the Russians don't respect people's rights as much as American police do. So we'll have to see how they go about it. I don't know if we'll ever really know all the stories that the Russians, what they do. To do this, to track this, our Akbarjan Jalilov down. Let's move on to something else. And this was also a story that I talked about last week. Also, besides the Garland, Texas, the FBI connection to the Garland, Texas terrorist attack. Remember, I talked about Claire McCaskill last week, how she had been recorded talking to some Democrat donors, some people in Missouri, about how, in so many words, she's thought that filibustering Gorsuch's nomination was a mistake. And she had made the quip that, you know, if we're going to filibuster this time, you know, how bad do you think it's going to be next time? Because I guess, in her opinion, at least when she talked to these people, was that Neil Gorsuch was actually one of the more acceptable picks on Trump's list. There were others that would have been, I guess, worse, in her opinion. And at the time, I said that I agree with what Claire McCaskill is saying. Now, you should know, since then, she has changed her tune. I mean, all 180 degrees, not 360 degrees, which would be going in the same direction. 180 degrees. Now she is actually for filibustering in the Senate, the nomination of Neil Gorsuch. And it does look at this point on Tuesday, April 4th, 2017, that they're going to try to filibuster it, and the Republicans are going to go to the nuclear option. They're going to get rid of the filibuster, and that'll be that, and it will be on, even to the point where even John McCain is saying that these Democrats cannot be reasoned with. Once again, even though this is a few days, Mitch McConnell has claimed that the Gorsuch nomination is going to happen one way or the other by the end of the week. By the end of the week, I guess that means Friday. So even 3 days out, I still have a hard time believing that the Democrats are going to do this. You know, here's the way I look at the Democrat Party in general, taking the politics out of it. They are usually pretty good at maneuvering legislatively, Senate rules, House rules, to get what they want. In fact, it's probably something that I would say drives Republicans and conservatives even more nuts than what Democrats actually think. They're always finding some loophole within a subsection of a corollary to a rule that was written in 1973 at Christmas time, you know, that they're allowed to do this. They are experts at that. And I'm not a part of the Republican Party anymore. But Republicans, I think, have been driven nuts by this. Your average Republican, and they think, why can't Republican legislators and representatives and senators be so crafty as these Democrats? This time, I have to really wonder what the Democrats are thinking. I think that this is a strategical or tactical, I'm not sure. It's a mistake. Because I believe what Claire McCaskill said last week is right. That filibustering Neil Gorsuch, she knows that there's no way that the Republicans are going to stand for that. That they'll just get rid of the filibuster. Neil Gorsuch will be approved. And that'll be that. That'll be that. And it may be that the voters in some way take it out on Republicans in 2018. I doubt it. I really, really doubt it. If voters are going to take it out on Republicans in 2018, it's going to be for many other things. It's not going to be for this. And this may very well be the reason that the Republicans, led by Mitch McConnell, are saying that we're just going to ignore what the Democrats do, the filibuster, and we're going to go through with this anyway, because they believe they're in the right. And I should say that I think the Republicans are correct. I think it's one of those few instances where the Democrats are misreading the rules and what is going on, and the Republicans are, I actually think, on point. In fact, I don't think that they could be any more on point. And if it comes to Friday and the Democrats want to filibuster this nominee, that the Republicans, I think, have figured out they're not going to pay politically for doing this, no matter how much hay Democrats try to make. And that is accurate. I believe that. Now, why are they doing this? I think they're desperate. I think that maybe in some way they have convinced themselves that this is a win for them. In some way that they think that they will have control over the narrative after this happens. That with Neil Gorsuch being approved this way, that it will be, you know, would hurt him on the Supreme Court. And I don't believe that at all. I don't believe that at all. There was no more divisive, as far as confirmation hearings where the guy actually got confirmed. I mean, there was more contentious ones like Robert Bork, which he didn't get confirmed. But a contentious one like Clarence Thomas, he has not paid for that. He's up there. He just does his business. Probably one of the quietest justices we've had in a long time. And has not affected his reputation at all. I continue to believe that will be the way it is for Neil Gorsuch. I think that 20 years down the road, and he still may be a justice at that time. He's a younger guy. I hope he lives to be 150 years old. That 20 years from now, not many people are going to remember if the Democrats filibustered him and the Republicans overrode the filibuster. Nobody's going to remember that. And if they do, I don't know how many people are going to care. There's only going to still be 20 years from now some liberal, crazy, left-wing, kook, socialist, communist professors at universities who will remember that. Everybody else will have gone on their way. As I pointed out, maybe not last week or the week before, 43% of the population of the United States cannot even name one Supreme Court justice, if you want to believe that poll. I showed off my ability to name all eight. 40-some percent of people can't even name one. And so in the grand scheme of things, you just wonder how important all this is. Could it be that this is just too much inside baseball and the Democrats have gotten caught up with it? They started maybe believing their own propaganda. And of course, the example that I always like to give is from World War II with the Nazis. They had a minister of propaganda. They issued propaganda like no civilization has issued in the history of the world. But what they started doing was they started believing their own... Now, they knew the Allies got on to Normandy Beach and were marching their way toward Berlin. But what would the Nazis tell their soldiers? What would the Nazis tell their citizens? Oh, the Germans are beating back the Allies here. They're beating back the Russians on the Eastern Front as well. They're just doing great. And so they'd spread this information. Then a couple days later, the information would come back to them. And they'd believe it, thinking it was true, not realizing that they were believing their own lies. That they knew were lies, but now that it, you know, makes the full circle back to them, they started believing it. And it very well could be that's what's going on with Democrats now, that they've put out so much propaganda, how about this is going to cost the Republicans, and it's going to cost them the House, it's going to cost them the Senate, Donald Trump's going to get impeached because of this, all this, and then it gets back to them, and they start believing it, even though they really don't believe it in the first place, but they hear the news, and then they start believing it. Oh, look, somebody else thinks that, where it's really just an echo. This feels like, what's going on, it feels like that. Because I think that they have overestimated how important the American people think the Supreme Court is. And this is why I continue to say, I've continued to say for months, that I don't think that a Supreme Court justice getting one or two on there is going to make up for the other damage that Donald Trump may do, because I don't think most people give a dang about the Supreme Court. They should, but they don't. That's something we have to remember. And I know doing this show every day, 5 days a week, I should say, I have to remember that. All of you are not caught up in this as much as I am. And when I do the stories that I pick out for my 5 hours a week, I don't do 3 hours a day like Rush or Sean or even some of the other shows on RedStateTalkRadio.com. All I get is about 55 minutes. And so when I come to the microphone, I try to remember that I'm talking to the average person. I'm not talking to a bunch of policy wonks out there. I try to remember that. I don't know if I succeed or not. But I think that the Democrats have overemphasized how important this is. And I think they're desperate. And this is what you do when you're desperate. You make mistakes. You say things that you shouldn't. You do things that you shouldn't. You start to believe lies that you want to believe. I think that Claire McCaskill, I think that her political instincts last week or whenever she was talking to these donors, maybe a week and a half ago, 2 weeks ago, were correct. And I want to give her, even though she's a Democrat, I want to give her credit for that because she's right. Because what's going to happen, probably, not 100%, and we'll look at the other side of this as well in a second, and you'll see what I mean by the other side. That if you're going to get rid of the filibuster now, then it perfectly opens up the floodgates. Now, you know, if Donald Trump is going to has a chance to nominate another Supreme Court justice in the next three and a half years, and the Republicans still control the House and the Senate, then if he can be coaxed to do so, he might go after some guy or woman who is even more of an originalist and is willing to talk about Roe versus Wade and all that, you know, much more than Neil Gorsuch was able to. So by invoking the filibuster, the Democrats down the road might get even what in their mind would be a worse pick than they would normally get. It's very, very possible, and Claire McCaskill was pointing that out, and I agree with that. Because once they want to filibuster somebody like Neil Gorsuch, then what's to stop the Republicans from just saying, hey, if they're going to filibuster this guy, then I guess we might as well just go all out and not try to compromise with them at all, not try to find common ground. And see, this is a mistake that the Democrats are making. Now, the other side of it, the flip side, and it very well may be this is the gamble that Democrats are taking. And you need, I don't know if you're ever going to hear this anywhere else on any other conservative talk show out there, but there is the other side of this. It very well may be that the Democrats think that the Donald Trump presidency is going to continue to go downhill in their eyes, you know, and you know what I think of Donald Trump's presidency, but maybe they suspect that Donald Trump could possibly pick a more liberal person next time, given just what happened with Trump Care and how he so quickly said, well, you know what? If the, you know, if the conservatives aren't going to work with me on health care, then I'm going to go to the moderates and the Democrats. I'll talk to them about fixing health care. That happened. That happened last week or the week before. Now, Democrats may be looking at that and say, well, maybe we can convert that into the Supreme Court choices as well. That if we filibuster this, and maybe if we don't even succeed, yes, it might be maybe we do. We'll just, this gambit, you know, if they want to override us, they override us. But at least maybe next time, given what everything that happened, and Donald Trump has this, you know, maybe the conservatives in the wing of the Republican Party will continue to tick him off. And next time he won't, just to go along with us, just to spite them, he'll go along with us and nominate a liberal one. And in this case, the filibuster makes sense because it just might work. And if it doesn't, well, it's no big deal because Democrats think they might get their way next time anyway. See, this is a mistake for the Democrats if you believe that Donald Trump will nominate another conservative justice next time if he gets a chance to do that. All right, this is a mistake if that's what you think is going to happen, if they think that's what's going to happen down the road. It is not a mistake if they think that the next time around that Donald Trump is feeling a little more liberal. So this is worth taking the chance this time, even if they don't succeed, because they think that they're not going to pay for it because they believe that Donald Trump will come around to their way of thinking anyway eventually. Very, very interesting. And once again, I want you to look at what happened with Trump Care. He wanted that thing passed. Conservatives didn't go along with it, and all of a sudden, he's blaming conservatives. Well, Democrats might be looking at that and saying, well, maybe he'll just feel like doing us a favor next time. We're going to find out how much Donald Trump was ticked off by the conservative wing in the Republican Party. And the Democrats may be thinking, well, at some point, if they keep ticking him off, he's not going to want to please them anymore. And maybe that'll show up in a more liberal pick next time. And maybe with this filibuster, they're thinking that maybe if we can filibuster and the Senate Republicans don't have the courage to override it, to go the nuclear option. Maybe Donald Trump is now regretting that Neil Gorsuch pick because the conservatives have ticked him off regarding Trump care. Very well could be that too. I, at this point, think it's a mistake. I'm not sure it's going to happen, but I still think it's a mistake. But I can see what Democrats are thinking. I can see behind closed doors what they're talking about. And they're looking at the Trump presidency, and they're looking at their prospects for the House in 2018, their prospects for the Senate in 2018, what it would mean if Neil Gorsuch got onto the Supreme Court. They're looking at Ruth Bader Ginsburg. Is she going to retire? How long is Anthony Kennedy going to be around? How long is Stephen Breyer going to be around? And I think they're making some – they're taking some risks here. They're really taking some political risks, I think. But somehow, you know, this is this is kind of like one of my favorite movies of all time, and I haven't really watched it recently. Maybe I should. The Hunt for Red October with Alec Baldwin and Fred Thompson and James Earl Jones and Sean Connery. Such a great movie. Such a fantastic movie. The book was okay. It's a weird thing about Tom Clancy that it obviously sold tons and tons and tons of books. And Tom Clancy, rest in peace. He's deceased now. But in my opinion, the movies for all of his books were better than the books, except for Some of All Fears. Some of All Fears was dumbed down because they took the Muslim terrorist angle out of it. That book was better than the movie, but all the other movies, Clear and Present Danger, Patriot Games, Hunt for Red October, were better than the books. That's true. But in The Hunt for Red October, Fred Thompson tells Alec Baldwin something. And he's talking about the Russians, of course, the Soviet Union at the time. He says that the Ruskies don't do anything without a plan. Don't take a crap without a plan or whatever he says. Once again, it's been a while since I've seen the movie. But, you know, so what's his plan? And Alec Baldwin's like, plan? He goes, well, the Ruskies don't do anything without a plan. This is the same way the Democrats are. They don't do anything without a plan. Whereas with the Republicans, I think the perception is always that they're just flailing their arms, trying to swim, and all they're doing is drowning themselves. They're looking like they're swimming, but they're not. Democrats don't jump into the water unless they have a plan about floating and swimming. So that's what I continue to think about as I think about how my perception is that this is a mistake. But they have a plan. I think I know what the plan is. I think I know what they're thinking is. It's a gamble. Maybe it's something else. Maybe they're thinking something else. Maybe they truly believe that the Republicans won't override their filibuster. I doubt that. I really, really, if that happens, you can expect the Republican Party to fall off that wall like Humpty Dumpty and fall into like a million pieces. It will be a disaster if the Republicans don't use the nuclear option and confirm Neil Gorsuch anyway. That will be a big mistake, given that that was such a big topic, even though I know 40% of the people can't name one Supreme Court justice, but it'll still be a big deal. Especially since I think so many people, even though they may not be able to name a Supreme Court justice, so many conservatives voted for Donald Trump on the specific reason that he would nominate somebody conservative to the Supreme Court. And I have to give it to him, although I will still see what kind of judge Neil Gorsuch ends up being. Remember, he did clerk for Anthony Kennedy. I brought this up when he was first nominated. If this happens, and Donald Trump actually, he said he'd pick somebody off his list, he did. And I give him credit for that. But if then the Senate can't confirm him, even when it has a majority, It's going to get ugly. If you think Trump care and all the fallout from that was ugly, it'll be nothing compared to this, because I think a lot of people did vote for Donald Trump for that specific reason only. Big deal. Got to go to the break. You've been listening to America's Conservative Podcast.
The voice of American conservatism, WRS Digital, Red State Talk Radio.
And we are back at America's Conservative Podcast. Let's move on to something else that it seems day by day is getting to be a bigger deal. I continue to stand by the fact that I do not believe that Trump himself was wiretapped. I still don't think there's one shred of proof that the administration was going after him specifically or anything like that. It seems to me at this point that the administration, the former administration, the Barack Obama administration, and the FBI, whoever else, had gotten a FISA warrant legally and wanted to monitor some Russian ambassador, whoever else. And there were Trump people who got caught up in those conversations, Mike Flynn went being one of them. And remember, what got Mike Flynn in trouble, and I think this story is so convoluted, so convoluted, because there's so much misinformation out there on both sides, disinformation and misinformation on both sides, both the Trump side and the Obama/Democrat side. That's what makes this story also even more convoluted than it is. Mike Flynn had to resign or got fired as National Security Advisor because he lied to the administration. He told them he never had any contact with Russians, and he did. That's why it wasn't him talking to the Russians that got him in trouble. What got him in trouble was not telling people that he did so. Remember that. But the only reason, now that makes sense. The big deal though, and where the felonies start coming in, is that Mike Flynn, his name shouldn't have been out there anyway. It's very clear that the administration was not going after Mike Flynn. Mike Flynn just happened to be on a phone call with a Russian ambassador for whatever reason. Doesn't seem to have anything to do with about fixing the election or anything like that. And something, of course, you know, I still don't believe. I don't believe the Russians had anything to do with our election. But his name getting out was the problem. And it was illegal. It was. Because at that point, he was still just a citizen of the United States, just like I am. And people who get caught up in those conversations, their names are not supposed to be released. Now, could they get in trouble? Depending on the conversation, could that person ultimately get in trouble for what's going on? If they're passing on secrets to the Russians? Yes. But their names are not supposed to be released. But Mike Flynn's was. And I think his wasn't the only person's name who was released. It's just the most high-profile person. And so the search has been on to find out who released this information. How did these private citizens' names get released? Because they're not allowed to be, what the saying is, unmasked. If there are transcriptions of these conversations, the person who is the innocent, the person who's not being tracked, their name is redacted from the documents. And I think they're allowed to hear their voice, but even that sometimes may be blotted out. All they're allowed to listen to is the Russian side or the other side, the person they're actually following and trying to track. That person's part of the conversation. Unless it turns out that it is something that has to deal with national security and this private person is breaking the law. Mike Flynn was not breaking the law. What got him in trouble was lying to his boss about these conversations. Well, now we're finding out that it probably, most likely, 95% probability that the person who instigated the releasing of Mike Flynn and other people's names is Susan Rice, who was National Security Advisor for Barack Obama. And if you'll remember, I don't know if really got into this in the last couple weeks going this much into it, but the rumor was that whoever was in charge of this, who did this, was somebody who was high up, a high-profile person in the intelligence community in the United States. Well, that would be Susan Rice, National Security Advisor. What makes this additionally interesting is that just in March, not even a month ago, she claimed she had no knowledge of any of this. Totally denied knowing anything about the names being released. Had no idea who would have done this. Nothing. This is a huge deal. This is a very, very big deal. And it's and what's interesting about this, and I saw this, I think it was Red State, and of course this story is everywhere, that at hotairredstate.com, they had drawn the comparison to Donna Brazile, who lied about not, you know, she said that she hadn't given questions in the debate to Hillary Clinton beforehand. She lied, said she didn't. And then afterward, finally, she has admitted that she did. And people are comparing Susan Rice lying to that. Susan Rice lying about this is way bigger deal than what Donna Brazile did. What Donna Brazile did was unethical and immoral, but not illegal. It's not a felony to give away questions before a debate. It just shows that she's a liar and she can't be trusted, but it's not illegal. There's nobody in jail for giving questions away for a debate. There's no fine. It's not a misdemeanor or anything. It's just something you're not supposed to do. Susan Rice lying is a million times a billion times infinity a bigger deal. Because whether she was doing it because she thought that, if she did have some good reason behind it, there is no good reason. The law is very clear that you're not supposed to unmask these persons' names. And on top of that, if it turns out in a conversation such as this that this private citizen is doing something illegal, it's still not proper to release that person's name. It just isn't. Now, granted, that person's name will probably come out if that person is charged with spying and espionage and a trial happens. Then yes, of course, that person's name is eventually going to get out. But until that happens, that person's name is not supposed to be a part of any document anywhere. But Susan Wright, even if Susan Rice thought that Mike Flynn or whoever else was doing something illegal, names can't be released. Now, it's pretty clear that, so the Democrats saying that these people were doing, they were colluding with the Russians, it doesn't matter. There is no good reason that these people's names should be released, even if they were doing something illegal. So that Democrat defense does not fly. Just doesn't. So the only other ending that you can come to is that this was done for some sort of political motivation. The releasing of these names were an effort maybe to embarrass these people, to embarrass Mike Flynn and whoever else. Well, it certainly did work in Mike Flynn's case. And that's something that I think that we all should think about. That, you know, you get in a quandary. You know, what is she? I think she's a liar. I think that what she did was a felony. But on the other hand, I know that Mike Flynn lied to Donald Trump and to Mike Pence and to the administration about these conversations he had with the Russians. So what are you supposed to do about that? Were the people in the intelligence community supposed to keep their mouth shut? No. But I think what I'm saying is that they could have let the Trump administration know that Mike Flynn had lied to them without Mike Flynn's name getting out there. I could see, you know, easily that they could have done that. Now, how would the Trump administration have handled it? That's a good question. Would they have gotten rid of this person? I mean, you have to keep in mind, the reason that Mike Flynn is gone is probably because the public did find out that he lied to Mike Pence about these conversations. Do you think that Mike Flynn is still National Security Advisor if his name is not released? Do you think the question is, do you think that Trump still would have kept him on even if he found out that Mike Flynn had lied to him and had lied to his vice president? What do you think? And you have to ask yourself before you jump too deep into this, do you want a guy like Mike Flynn in a National Security Advisor position who started off his job lying to his boss? Probably not. So if Donald Trump would have kept Mike Flynn on anyway, he would have been doing something that you, as a Republican voter, wouldn't agree with, and it would be slightly a big deal. So, you know, this is what, once again, this is what makes this whole story convoluted. The truth is Mike Flynn should have been fired or let go for lying to his boss, but I'm not sure that would have happened if Mike Flynn's name hadn't gotten out there. Of course, that's that's like a different timeline. We don't know what the administration would have done. In fact, as I remember it going back to when this happened, it seemed to me that the administration wanted to keep Mike Flynn on anyway, even though he lied to them, which is a strange choice to me. I don't know. It's once again, I keep saying this, it's a convoluted story that I think what Susan Rice did was illegal. I think it's a felony. I think she should be charged. But on the other hand, I think it's a good idea that we found out that Mike Flynn lied to his boss. And the only reason we know that is because of Mike Flynn's name being unmasked. We wouldn't know that otherwise. If Donald Trump had found out about this behind the scenes, you know, it's even hard to explain this. Let's go back and say Mike Flynn's name had not been released. All right, and all the laws had been followed. But in the course of this, it was discovered that Mike Flynn lied to Mike Pence and Donald Trump about these conversations. If Donald Trump and Mike Pence would have been motivated to get rid of Mike Flynn for that, what would the excuse have been for him to resign or for him to be fired? They couldn't have come out and said that it was because he was talking to the Russians, because then that would unmask Mike Flynn's name, something you're not supposed to do. Do you see the problem in all this? It's hard to explain, and I'm pretty good with words. And that's why I'm in a quandary regarding all of this. I'm not so much in a quandary that Susan Rice is a scoundrel, but I do think that probably what was best for the country was Mike Flynn's name to be leaked. Because I think we need to know when people are in positions, important positions like this, and got off to a start lying to their boss. And the only reason we know that he lied is because his name was released. We wouldn't know that Mike Flynn lied to his Donald Trump and Mike Pence if his name had continued to be a secret. That's my belief. And it very well may be, had his name not been leaked, that all this in April, Mike Flynn is still the National Security Advisor, but he's kind of compromised. And I don't think because of this lying. And what if the Russians knew that Mike Flynn lied to his boss, but Donald Trump and Mike Flynn or Mike Pence didn't know about it? And the only people who knew about it were the Russians and the people in the intelligence community. Then what? You see how complicated this gets. It gives me a headache just thinking about it. I have to be honest. But she is a scoundrel. I still think that, you know, she's a scoundrel. And it probably was for political reasons. But it still doesn't prove the point that Donald Trump thinks that the Trump Tower was wiretapped. It doesn't. I think that I've seen that some people are somehow through all of this coming to that conclusion that this is proving what Donald Trump said a month ago on Twitter. It doesn't. All it proves is there with this FISA, I think that the administration was concerned about these connections. Remember, it was Donald Trump himself who picked these people. He picked Paul Manafort, who had connections to Russia. He picked Steve Bannon, all of these people who somehow, some way had connections to Russia. They knew he was friends with Rex Tillerson, who might become Secretary of State, who got a medal from Russia. And so, you know, Barack Obama can sit back and say, hey, I had every good reason. The FBI had every good reason while I was president to look into this. This is a concern. Even if it might have been politically motivated. But it was Donald Trump. If Donald Trump never had any connections to Russia, I don't think that the Barack Obama administration ever thinks about getting a FISA warrant to go after Russians. That's what I think. And the reason that so many Trump people got caught up being taped talking to Russians, including Mike Flynn, is because of those connections to Russia. But once again, there's still no proof in any of this that a Russian said, hey, we're going to fix this election for you. That's the main point coming out of all this. None of that has come out. But the Trump administration should be looking at it this way. When you lied down with dogs, you get fleas. If you weren't so friendly with these people, you wouldn't be getting caught up talking to them on the phone when the FBI is trying to track down what these Russians are doing. So, it's no different than my private life. The reason that you're never going to hear me talking to a prostitute is because I don't deal with prostitutes. The reason you're never going to see me talking on the phone to crack dealers or cocaine dealers or serial killers or anything is because I'm not friends with any of them, at least not to my knowledge. But when you are friends with Russians and you've spoken nicely about Vladimir Putin and everybody else, it's no surprise then that you're caught on the phone talking to these people. That's the way I continue to look at this. I can't help but think, no matter what Susan Rice did and what she did was illegal, if she in fact was the one, Trump administration, Trump people shouldn't have been talking to the Russians. Not in the way that they were. Definitely not. Let's move on to one more thing. It seems like the problems at the VA are continuing. Donald Shulkin, S-H-U-L-K-I-N, is the guy who is running the VA now. And there was a story that came up that an employee, frontline employee, which means a person who deals with patients at the VA, was watching porn while taking care of a patient somewhere. I don't know where this happened. That person could not be fired. The person was changed to another position. And there was also the other story that there was an employee who was a getaway driver in a robbery, and that was discovered. And that employee couldn't be fired either. And within all of this, you see the problem that we have not only with the VA but with the federal government as a whole is you can't fire anybody. You just can't. Everybody has their job, and you could say that there are too many people in too many levels of government who can't get fired. Public school teachers, good luck. Good luck getting any of them fired for anything. In fact, there are many, just do a Google search. You'll see many teachers who have been accused of sexual assault or having sex with students and everything, and other teachers come to their defense. Same way when it comes to the federal government, that these employees have these things happen to them, and the union comes to these employees' defense. The employee, the union, unfortunately, thinks that an attack on one person is an attack on all of them. I'm not going to sit here and tell you that I think every VA employee is watching porn at work. I don't believe that. And see, this is the problem, though, that all those people who wouldn't do that will come to the defense of the person who would. It is the ultimate, I guess, in tribalism and cliquishness. It certainly feels like high school. It feels like a fraternity or sorority where everybody just, your brothers and sisters must be defended no matter what they do. And you see, and you know what my fix is for a lot of this. I just tell these people to stay home. We'll keep paying you, just don't show up. A lot of these departments that I think are unconstitutional, that are hurting the United States or infringing on people's rights or hurting the economy, if I was president, even though I know these people are working in the legislative branch, my opinion would just be, just stay home. Don't worry, you still get your checks. Don't worry. Just don't show up. That would do wonders for the United States. The problem is, you can't do that in the VA. You can't tell these people to stay home. Why? Well, because they're actually taking care of people. People who actually need help. Whereas most of the rest of the federal government, they're just pushing paper around. You can't tell, you know, I don't think this was an actual doctor. I don't think this was a person with a PhD who was watching this porn. I don't know exactly what this person was doing. I don't know. But unfortunately, you can't tell these people to stay home because of what they do. And so there has to be, you have to figure out some sort of other fix for this. I think it was a mistake. Even though it does seem like David Shulkin is trying to do a good job, it does look like he's looking for more power to fire these people and to have his underlings be able to fire these people. I think it was a mistake to keep him around from the Barack Obama administration. I think it was. I think that at this point, you needed somebody to come in from the outside to take a look at all of this. Somebody who isn't connected to all this, to bring in some new ideas, than the guy who's already there. And, you know, these people are just thinking, well, we're supposed to change. Well, you know, just a year ago, he was putting up with all this behavior, all these crazy things were going on, but now suddenly he's going to ratchet down on it. I think this sours people. I think the employees maybe at the VA just don't take the guy seriously, even if those are the employees who are doing everything in the right way. So I think that a leadership change is needed on top of changing the way this union, you know, conducts itself and the power it has to keep these people employed. I just don't think that there's been enough done yet. And of course, the big problem is that this VA problem is spread out over many, many different buildings in different cities, in different states. You remember going back to when this all popped up a few years ago. It was multiple people, multiple administrators, faking documents, lying about statistics, and they were all doing it the same way, even though none of them knew each other. They all figured out how to work the system to their own benefit. And dare I say it, these are the people whose names should be released, not the names of the people, these innocent people who got caught up in these phone conversations with the Russians. The people whose names need to be released are all these people who are watching porn at the VA. They're being getaway drivers, these administrators and everything, and everybody should know where these people live. That's all I got to say on this because I've run out of time for this episode. Go to edwarddenzel.com to see if the website is working. Hopefully it is today. You can find me on Twitter, USA Podcast. You can find the show Monday through Friday, 9 p.m. Eastern on the Prime Channel, RedStateTalkRadio.com. Find it at Podomatic and iTunes as well. And then there's my other show, Unfound, Missing Persons Program. Please check it out at Podomatic and iTunes as well. Also, the Twitter feed. Unfound Podcast. It's been great talking to you today. You've been listening to America's Conservative Podcast.